Anybody have any thoughts about last night, or response, or questions? Everybody understands it perfect.
Yeah, I did. I was thinking, like, you know, after hearing that report, or now whatever it was, like, you know, the only thing you can do is repeat.
That's it.
I was thinking about this question of abandoning self and stuff. I forgot the first thing. Eric. It was like there's two realities, spirit and flesh, and in the flesh that's where you find yourself, and that's where you either abandon yourself or repent back into Christ, where there's nothing to do.
She's interrupting you.
Is she making fun?
No, she's making fun of me as usual.
You could kind of stifle yourself.
Being strangled by
his own. He gets on your case all the time about being nailed.
Why do you think he does it?
I told you a thousand times that if I let my mind work, I'd outdo Harry.
It's only going to get worse.
It's finished. Look, smartass.
I thought you were talking about the real estate.
Wait.
Let's just do this.
Well, it's just going to coil back up there.
Is it finished
now?
Well,
it's doing it again. No stopping it.
What?
Can you clip it on your church?
Now that we've interrupted the what?
Pastor Gary.
What?
What happens when you mess with that
microphone? It makes all kinds of terrible noise.
I haven't thought about last night. Excuse me. And the thought is occasioned by Alex. I'm sure that when he tells you that he wants to come here in the morning, he wants to get up, I'm sure that's the truth. That is what he wants. But then it comes the morning, and it's time to actually, for that to become reality. And there's a battle between those two. It's very, very cheap. I'm not talking about him, I'm talking about all of us. It's very cheap to sit and talk about, oh, I should lay my life down for the poor people around me, and blah, blah. It's a completely different thing to have somebody knocking on your door at midnight. Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that part about, and I apologize for not saying it, but the Ackerman, I don't remember what it was, but something about the death of Christ or something.
Showing
his death. I never heard that before. I don't really know what that means.
I just read the scripture. You show forth his death till he comes.
No, but I don't know how that's worked out. I don't know that I've ever experienced that or seen it.
Okay, we can. I'm going to let you talk about that with your Bible study. One of the key reasons, if you look at the set days of the Lord in Leviticus 23. Well, let's go there. Leviticus 2:3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts. Now, the word feast doesn't mean like let's have a party. The word feast is a word in Hebrew that means the set time. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the set times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my... And what it says in the Hebrew, these are my only set times. It says they shall be celebrated forever. Six days. The first set time of the Lord. Leviticus 23.
I think I'll use chapter 2, verse 3.
The first set time of the Lord is described first. And in spiritual meanings, anytime something, I mean, it's normally, if it's described first, it's the most important. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So there is a set time of the Lord. And in hermeneutics, is that hermeneutics? Whatever it is. The idea is, if you're reading the scriptures and there's something that isn't understood at first, in the first part of it, and then you go down farther, you won't understand anything that's down farther unless you understand the first thing. And so something here is about six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. So, as long as the 6 days are in place, then you are permitted, you are encouraged, you are to do your work, right? I'm going to say something to you, and that most of you hopefully have heard before, but maybe not have understood. The 6 days are the 6 days of linear time until the cross. On those 6 days, man could work. Stuff could happen. The reason man could work is because of what God had done. He'd given man to be first tested in innocency as Adam and Eve. And that innocency was to be transformed into holiness by test, by the antagonism. And as I've said so often, we don't know how many tests that Adam had, but we know the one that he failed at. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that what that did is extended the Sabbath, if you will, the 6 days, all the way up to Jesus Christ, all the way up to the cross. Jesus Christ, He is our Sabbath day. He is the last day. He is the Sabbath of rest. And He fulfilled everything in the Scripture regarding the requirements of the Sabbath when He was crucified in the grave. Now, there are 46 death penalties for doing any work on the Sabbath. And I promise you, every person in the universe has broken those rules. So you deserve a death penalty according to the law of God. So once you understand that the Sabbath is a person, then you can understand the rest of the feasts. You can understand the Sabbath is a person. You can understand that person was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. He was born on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. He was baptized on the feast of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. He turned the water into wine and was transfigured on the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He kept the Sabbath perfectly, the only time it's ever been kept perfectly according to the law, while He was in the grave. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And His seed, or sperma, the sperma of God, was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, He said it's finished, and we know it's finished. And so, the reason that the study of the Sabbath is so critical to understanding Passover is that He completed this first and primary feast on the Passover season. The Passover lasts 8 days. Now, if you believe Paul said this incredible thing about working. So 6 days you shall work, and the seventh day you rest. Well, that has to be duplicated in you. 6 days shall you work. I'm talking about the days. 6 days shall you work, and finally, on the seventh day, you rest. On Jesus' day, you rest. But he is now totally at rest because it's finished. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Now go to Romans 4. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you're still working it, if you're still in the 6 days working, then the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Because you can never accomplish what it is that you think you should accomplish. So you'll walk constantly more and more in debt, no matter what it is that you think you achieve. But in the economy of God, you will always be in debt. And the debt is what slowly but surely brings you down to the point where you can finally see that you're a failure, that you're intended to be a failure, that you were meant to be a failure. Because it's only when you're a failure that you can understand that his resurrection is in you. So to him that worketh is the reward not accounted as grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now, all over the Scriptures, all over the Talmud, this is the essence. That if the Sabbath were kept one time, the age of Messiah would come. If you broke every law in the Scriptures, in the Bible, yet kept the Sabbath, it would be as though you kept the whole law. Everything was completed by Christ in the grave on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is no longer a day, it is a person. And that's why you labor to enter into his rest. Does everybody understand this a little bit? Or anybody want to?
I saw that it gives new meaning to the labor, but you have to labor at it before you can get there. You know, you can't just like decide you don't want to do things. You got to try them and fail.
You have to come to the end of yourself.
What do you mean you labor to enter into his rest?
It's not what I mean. It's what the Scripture says. Go to Hebrews 4. I hate people when I say, what do you mean? Hebrews 4. What? I didn't hear what he said.
Talk to me after 30 years of
it. Go ahead, ask me a question. I hate it when people say it.
Oh, I hurt Eric's feelings. Everybody go, oh.
You didn't hurt me.
All right. Remember, there is another principle of Scripture, that when something is repeated over and over again, it must be extremely important. In chapter 3, it keeps saying over and over again, exhort one another while it is still called today. Exhort one another while it is still called today. Now, in Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Every time you see the word rest, it's his Sabbath. Being left of us of entering into his rest, lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Who's the them? Everybody before Christ. And here it's specifically talking about the Jews in the wilderness. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into Sabbath rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day in David. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God, to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Rest, 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 rest. Labor not, labor not, labor not, labor not. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down the imaginations. Rest, rest, rest. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you don't know he is in you, then you are reprobate because you're incapable of repentance. Because what will you repent? What will you? You can say, I'm sorry, till hell freezes over. But unless you know that there is the being for which your body was created is now living within you, and he cannot occupy except where you are not, then what happens? Then you've labored to enter into his rest. He alone is your life. Whatsoever things are gained to you become a loss to Christ. You've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. There's no more striving to understand. There's no more seeking after, because the fullness of everything is already within you. You've been perfected forever by the one offering that occurred on Pentecost, Passover. You have his light that lighteth all men that cometh into the world came on the day of Pentecost. You are simply a vessel for that, but you have to come to the end of all that you can possibly think of before you can hear. But now, because the Sabbath is come, because Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, go to 1 John 4. Just to take a ride about a few pages. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, what's a spirit? A spirit is some form of communication that gets to you. Right? A spirit is your thoughts. A spirit is somebody talking to you. A spirit is your ideas. Believe not every spirit. Right? Can you understand that? Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And if you look up that word many in a Greek lexicon of a freshman Greek, you'll see the word many means almost all. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. This is kind of critical. Hereby you know that the information that you are receiving is from the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now you got to hear this. The Antichrist will always confess he did come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that confess he is come. This is why the only way that you can say Jesus is Lord is if you see that everything in the world is perfect, exactly as it should be. You are perfect, exactly as you should be. You own all things. You cannot want. Can you see why it's so critical that you go to war with the mind and all its infinite numbers of cause and effects and ideas and plans and ambitions and images? These are what? Go to Ezekiel 8. It was a rhetorical question. I'm sorry, Kent. I didn't want to give you a chance to explain what I really meant.
There's a section bound out of order.
That's somehow that's very appropriate. Anybody have any response or thoughts or questions?
The First John is like the Sabbath. Also, if you have the Sunday school idea of it's a cyclical thing, the Sabbath was last Sunday, or it's going to be this coming Sunday.
Right. So for modern Christianity, Jesus was crucified on Friday, and he rose from the dead on a Sunday, but you're living in Saturday. You got to wait for something. You got to keep going, keep the energy flowing. You got to keep it going. You got to be successful.
That means he's not dying or risen. He's just sitting in the grave.
Well, for you, he is. He's just sitting in the grave. Not for you, you, but you.
I knew what you meant.
You probably don't want to do that. He was originally in my Bible study many years ago, and I would open my mouth and sit, and he would then say, "Only what you meant is this," or he would explain, "What only meant was this." And one night I couldn't take it anymore, and I said, "Get the hell out of here. Go to Joyce Sannon's Bible study."
He'd tell it what they mean.
Drive them crazy.
I'm not sure went home last night.
What's it mean to cast down imaginations?
Means every thought that you have, every idea that you have that can't stand against it is perfect, it is finished, it is over, must be seen as empty, vain, futile, stupid, idiotic, dumb, and of the Antichrist. Because if you give breath to that thought, he will breathe life into the one that was killed by the deadly head wound. Understand?
No.
There's nothing about that you understand.
Well, yeah.
You remember I told you were the Antichrist when you were here last?
Right.
It hasn't changed. You remember that part of you, which is of the flesh, of the senses, is cursed? You remember that? So you can't use that which is cursed to gain anything that is blessed.
Yeah, I was thinking about something you were talking about. Failure and stuff, and that's thinking that I've never liked that word.
I've always loved it myself.
it's like, well, from a second, it's like you know, I've tried to do, you know, everything that I thought that I could, you know, possibly do not to be a failure. And it's obvious it hasn't worked for years. I don't know. I think until you or I or me or whatever that, you know, I can come to full acceptance of the fact that I'm a failure.
Well, to come to full acceptance of it means that you must come to the place where you see, yes, I am a failure, and no, I don't regret it. In fact, I finally understand that I could not have seen anything about the revelation or the mystery of the kingdom of God without being a failure. So therefore, the failure was vital and necessary. For a thousand years, he puts obstacles in our path over and over and over, hoping that we will stop and inquire of him. But we obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead. Boom! We got to do it. We got to overcome this. We're overcomers. We're champions. That's just horse shit. Oh no, I can't say that anymore. Huh? I can't say that. Oh, yeah. Huh? Let's not debate it. Go to Ezekiel 8. He brought me, in verse 7, he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Now, Ezekiel is fundamentally about your subconscious mind. And for years, your entire life, every time you've seen a hole, you fixed it. Now he's not telling. Now finally the Spirit of God says, when you see the hole, don't fix it. When you see that weakness, don't fix it. He says, then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And you say, no, I'm not going to dig. I'm not going down in that basement. Don't dig. I'm not going to dig. I want to fix the wall. Otherwise, it's going to fall down and my whole life will crash around me. Because by now, you're starting to suspect that you are an invented being. You've kind of invented yourself. Took a little of this and a little of that. You made this clay monster, this golem. I'll take a very little bit of what Harry is. And I'll take a little bit of Kevin. I'll take the part that he knows about computer crap. And then I will take a little bit from Wade, the part that can play the piano. And I'll take a little bit from Angela Martin or Jackie because they can sing. And then pretty soon I'll have this new creation. And I'll take a little bit from Pete, so I'll be nice. What?
So you'll have the illusion of being nice.
And I'll take a little bit from Bojo, so I can pretend I'm the thinker. Did I make your point? The point you've invented yourself, and you've done a terrible job. You're just goofy, but you've set yourself up in the temple, showing yourself that you're God, and it's all about to fall apart because you just saw the hole, and the angel of God said, "Dig," and you're saying, "No, I don't want to dig." He said, dig to you all the time. But never before did you have, you hadn't failed enough to dig. And now you dig. Then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And that's every idea, everything about you, thinking about ways things should be, every abomination that defines you is all patterned on the wall. Some of it is really bad. They're really, for some of you, the pictographs look good. I mean, compared to, I mean, the images are so stupid. Anyway. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. That's your Sanhedrin. You've got all these guys. They have seven heads with 10 crowns and whatever, the Revelation 13. But there's 70 of them up here in you. And atop the seven high hills and high places sits the whore of Babylon. And she's just manipulating you into always believing in reward and punishment and cause and effect. If I do this, then I'll get this. And it's all geared toward self-realization. Sometimes you put God's name on it, but that really pisses them off. Wait for the resurrection to be revealed in you. Amen. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. But it really said is the waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though while he's leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every wild, weird, creeping, crawly thing is there. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, the things that I don't like, or his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I can always eat of this mystery. Thou anointest my head with oil. Always, all anointing doesn't have to wait for sound and music. It's always anointed. My cup runneth over. Because every 5 minutes I don't try to get a bigger cup. And surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I've stopped paying attention to the 70 voices that are all controlled by this guy. There stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the Antichrist. This is another name for the Antichrist. Jazaniah, but he's the son of Shaphan. Shaphan is a rock rabbit, a coney. He's this little beast. And you're following him. And he's... Everything that you do only ends in your being alone and mad and upset and afraid and anxious. But it gets seduced by, I can get this if I do that. And that means you've listened to the rock rabbit. You've listened to the coney. You've listened to the Antichrist. And he's the one that's manipulating that set board of 70 elders, your Sanhedrin up here. That's why you must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and cast down every imagination and abandon yourself completely. Take no thought of or about or for yourself. So that you can not just celebrate the Sabbath, you can be the Sabbath. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is nothing else. And the mechanism for all that to happen and for your death as well as Christ's is what we're celebrating the next 3 days. Amen? Does that answer any of your questions? When I first became a believer, when he first revealed the Son in me in 1972, I saw this right away. And for 5 years, almost five, well, it was really five until anybody really believed me, I thought I was the only one in the universe that saw this. And slowly but surely, first people started to hear. And you've got to remember something. If you think that you have to learn something about God, you know you're being deceived. I can only tell you what you already know. Now, the real you is longing and has been, just as Christ said, how long have I longed to eat this Passover with you? Now, don't just sit around and have a meal. Eat the Passover with him. Everybody understand perfectly? Bulger, forgive me for making fun of him.
What do you think?
You're not in the right pose, though. Okay.
I was thinking about Ronnie's mentioning failure, and I know I always wanted success, and it's like I got it. You know, I got the desire of my heart, but I didn't know what I was searching for. And he got the desire of his heart. You know, same place, but different path. But God sees your heart, and that's what he wants to look like.
But once you start believing your mind, this place is just horrible. It's just bad. It's just stinky, smelly. Not convenient. But it meets every desire of your heart, or my heart anyway. All righty, take it, big guy. Let's all, in the next 2 days.